Song of Solomon, chapter 1. And if you're using a Scofield Reference Bible, page 705. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, beginning with verse 7, reading through verse 12. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the book of the Song of Solomon. And we're going to read these verses responsively. Shall we all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word? Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. And the text verse is that 12th verse we read together. And let's bow our heads, please, for a word of prayer. How we thank thee, O Lord, for thy word. And that's what it's all about. That's why we're here. For the preaching and the knowledge of thy word. And for what it speaks to our hearts. And for what it means as a means of direction and guidance and help for us. And may it be that for those who know thee. And for those who know thee not, may it be a word spoken to help them to know and to become convinced of Christ and of Him as Savior and Lord in their lives. And so we pray for thy blessing upon the word as it's preached, upon the preacher, and help us as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
When an Eastern king sat at the table, Eastern king of old, sat at the table, his subjects would burn spices. And those spices, much like our little candles, you know. What do you call those things?
You burn a little... What? What? Talk loud.
Yeah, that's what it is. Exactly what she said. And whatever it was. But anyhow, we'll have a... other day I got in the car. I drive the mail wagon when it's not being used. And so... Brother Gary Rice drives it some, and Brother John Lockhart drives it some. And when they're not using it, I ask them if I can borrow it, and that's what I drive. And so, brother, I got it. And, oh, did it smell good? Good night. Wow. Woo! I love to stand over here when the ladies' section of the choir comes out and smell the different perfume. Here's Chanel number 5, and here's Chanel number 19, and Chanel number 22, and perspiration number 5. And one after the other. And so, but I looked up and I tried to figure out what's causing this aroma. And there was something hanging from the rearview mirror. And it had a tremendous aroma. And I knew why. But the Gary Rice, with the John Lockhart, they're always trying to do something to help me. For example, I've been parking out here for years behind the apartment house. And I've been trying to get out of the snow and the dug out of the mud. And so this week they got together and on their own, without asking me, they poured a concrete parking place. I am really living it up. First class all the way. But you know, somebody went out there when the concrete was freshly poured and wrote their name in the concrete. I won't tell you who it was, but the name is Jack Hiles. He's got Daniel 12:3 written right underneath it in the concrete. Dr. Rice used to say... Some kids out Bill Rice Ranch were writing in freshly poured concrete. And Dr. Rice said, "Hey, you kids, get out of that concrete." And somebody said, "Dr. Rice, don't you like children?" "Yes," he said, "I love children in the abstract, but not in the concrete." And so I didn't like it either. I said, "That's corny, Dr. Rice." But anyway, but they're trying to pamper me, and somebody had wanted me to have a nice aroma, and they noticed that I do not send forth a nice aroma. So they gave me, put some in the car there, a little thing that hung over the rearview mirror. And that's what they did when the king would sit at the table. And the king would sit at the table in the in time for the family to gather around. The servants and those that loved the king would pamper him. and they'd burn some kind of incense or myrrh or sweet-smelling savor, and they'd blow that toward the king so the king could enjoy it and pamper the king. I guess I know more than anybody else in the world knows how it is to be pampered. I guess that more people in this church do nice things for me than most any preacher in the world. I am the most pampered and the most spoiled and the most wonder. I mean, most spoiled. folks come to see me and they bring me all kinds of stuff. Good night. It's awfully hard for me to go on a diet. Last time we went on a diet, I only gained 3 pounds in a week, and it was the best week I'd had in a long time. But they'd pamper the king like you pamper me. So these spices would come toward the king. And this is the reason why in Luke chapter 7, when Jesus was in a certain house, a woman who was a sinner rushed in and began to cry, and she was in the presence of Jesus. Then she fell down at his feet, weeping, and she washed his feet with her tears. And she took her hair and dried his feet with her hair. I was thinking about that this week, and I started loving the Lord a little bit. And I said, Lord, if I'd see you, I'd like to weep and fall at your feet and wash your feet with my tears. But the Lord seemed to say, you couldn't dry my feet with your hair, though, could you? Brother Bill, you could. I hate that head of hair you've got. I hate that. Anybody, big, bushy-headed baboon. God was ashamed of your head and covered it up, Bill. But I thought about that. That's why she did it. That's why she anointed. Bible said she came in and she felt his feet and she wept and she washed his feet with her tears and then she dried his feet with her hair and then she anointed his feet with precious ointment. That's what she was doing. She was pampering the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the reason why in Mark chapter 14, a woman broke the alabaster box of ointment and poured it on Jesus' head. She was trying to pamper the king. She was anointing him as king and pampering him just like they did in the Old Testament. It may be that that's why Mary herself in John chapter 12, when our Lord was eating at Mary and Martha's house, fell at his feet and anointed his feet, the Bible said. 3 times he was anointed like that. I wonder maybe he was anointed 3 times. Maybe is that because he was anointed as prophet? Prophets were anointed. And priests were anointed. And kings were anointed. Does that mean that Jesus was anointed 3 times? Because he's prophet, priest, and king? I do not know. I don't know this. I know that that's why they did it, because they always pampered the king. And the Bible said, when Mary did this, that the sweet odor filled the entire house. Why? Just to pamper Jesus, that's all. I think we make the Bible so complicated. What does that spice represent? Well, that myrrh represents suffering, and the frankincense represents Frankenstein, this represents that. One of the sad things about churches is we know more types than God knows, and we know more Bible than God knows. What God is trying to tell us here is that He wants us to love Him and worship Him and adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. That's what He wants, and that's why that they'd sit there in the eastern table. Here's the king at the end of the table, and the servants and those that loved Him would offer incense and blow that incense toward the king, and that's what God wants us to do. You know, I'd love to do that. I'd love to get to know Jesus. This is very sweet to me. One thing I noticed about the Rice family, Joanna, and that is the boss man was spoiled, Dr. Rice. I would watch them. I'd sit first time or two with the Rice family. I watched them. And Dr. Rice never knew what it was to have a glass of tea that was less than half filled. Never did. Those girls would break their necks to see who got there and pamper Daddy. And one day, Joanna, on the road, I said, there's nobody to fill his tea, so I'll do it. And I decided that I was going to pair up with the old man like he was at home. And God knows this is true. I kept my eye open for his every need. Why? He was a king. And he ought to be pampered. He deserved to be pampered. And when I saw his tea glass get empty, half empty, I'd fill it. If I saw his water glass get half empty, I'd fill it. If I saw a hole in his shoe, I'd take him down and buy him a pair of shoes. If I saw his suit was a little raveled, I'd take it down and buy him a suit. And you know, a funny thing happened. I was with Dr. Robertson a few weeks ago up in Delaware. He and I were preaching together. And not many preachers older than I am these days. But other day, what's the guy's name down in Houston? Harold Clayton. Harold Clayton's 10 years younger than I am. When he was a young preacher, I was his favorite older preacher. But he's got white hair like you have. And I was preaching not long ago, and I got a letter that said, I went to Garland, and I heard you and the older, elderly man preach too. And talking about Harold Clayton, 10 years younger than I am. But there are not many preachers older than I am anymore. Now, they used to say, let's say, now, boys and girls, please sit up and listen. This is John Rice. Someday he'll be gone, and you'll be glad to say, I got to hear him. And now they say, boys and girls, sit up straight. This is Dr. Jack Hiles. He'll be gone. Now I know how you felt. I was at Dr. Robertson. And Brother Ray, I found myself trying to find something needed. I said to him and left. I said, why don't you just travel with me a lot? I said, I've got a vacancy for an older man I'd like to pamper. That's what this is. Our Lord, the King, sits at the table. And as the King did in the Old Testament days, said, pamper him. And blow the aroma. That's what it means when it says the odor of Spikner was broken and poured or blown toward the King. Now, our Lord sits at a heavenly table. These hands cannot reach him. These eyes cannot see him. These ears cannot hear him. These arms cannot serve him. What can I do to pamper the King? One thing. I won't ask you to turn to it, but I'll read it for you. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8 says, and we had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors or perfumes, which are the prayers of the saints. Did you know there's some way that I can send sweet-smelling aroma toward my King who sits at the head of the table in heaven? Yeah, he said, how is it? Are you listening? I say, are you listening? Young people, are you listening? I say, how can you do it? How can I pamper my King? I cannot feed him. I cannot fill up his iced tea glass or fill up his water glass. How can I pamper him? The Bible says our prayers. our prayers. We ask him things. Ask him for things. Our Lord loves to provide for us, and he longs for us to ask him. And that boy right there. That boy right there. If you were my son, I'd commit suicide. And that boy right there was, the boy, Daddy, can I have a penny? Young people, you don't believe it, but there was a day when folks asked for a penny. Now, the only thing you can buy a penny with today is 12 minutes on a parking meter. And I get tired of sitting there using it up just so I won't waste money. that's all you can buy. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that to be funny. I tell story after story, and you never laugh at them, and I tell something I don't think is funny, and you laugh. You could buy an all-day sucker for a penny, and you could buy a piece of candy for a penny. Used to, you could even buy a little bitty Mr. Good Bar for a penny, a little bitty Hershey Bar, a tiny one for a penny. Daddy, can I have a penny? He used to say. He got a little older. He said, Daddy, can I have a nickel? A little older. Daddy, can I have a dime? I thought, oh boy, if ever get out of my hair and quit asking me for all that money. Daddy! And he got a little older. Can I have a quarter? And then finally, oh my. Daddy! Can I have $20? Want to go on a date? Oh, brother. I'll tell you, I'll be glad that kid's grown and gone. I'm so tired of money. Tired of it. Can I have a nickel? Can I have a quarter? I wouldn't mind hearing it now. Several months ago, one of the girls came and said, Daddy, could I have some money? Oh, how sweet it sounded. Can I have some money? She said, I want to buy a birthday present for somebody. I'll pay you back, and I'll pay you that check back. But can I have some money? Of course she can have some money. We were young Christians. You said, dear Lord, supply my needs. Oh, God, take care of me. And God delights to supply our needs. But now we're grown, and we're older, and we have nice jobs. We don't have all those needs anymore. And don't you think the Lord gets hungry sometimes? Rusty. Pray. You say, when we say, Lord, I want this. The Lord says, I love that smell. That's perfume. That's pampering the king. a couple years ago at midnight one night, I got a call. And it was Becky. And I said, Becky, what's wrong? It's past midnight. I said, Becky, are you okay? Yeah. Is Pina okay? Yeah. Is Pisa okay? Is Tim okay? Everybody okay? Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy. Yes, sir. I said, what's wrong? And Becky said, Daddy, I just want to hear your voice. And I said, you did. Yes, Daddy. She said, the girls have been a little hard to handle today, the children. And she said, you always knew how to handle us. And she said, Daddy, I just wanted to hear your voice. She said, before I went to bed, I just wanted to be a little girl for a while. You think I minded that? You think I said, Becky, what in the world is wrong with you? I'm asleep, don't you? Oh, she can wake me up on an hour every night if she wants to. If she hears this tape, Becky, I'm just preaching now. And God can get carried away before he knows it, don't he? Mothers, enjoy the fingerprints on handprints on the towels. You'll wish they were there someday. Oh, you get these towels dirty. I get sick and tired. You won't have to wash them. They'll hang on there month after month one of these days. And you'll go check and wish there were a little fingerprint on the towels. You'll soon wish there were little footprints on the carpet. You'll soon wish there were little handprints on the wall. You better enjoy. And our Father said, when you ask me for something, it's like perfume. Would you like to pamper the king? Ask him what you need. He wants to supply your needs. One year, my mother in Texas, in those days, she was younger, and we used to go to her house for Christmas, open presents, and she'd cook a big meal. And so, one year I was over on Christmas, day before Christmas, and Mother said, son, don't think we have a Christmas dinner tomorrow. And I said, I can understand that, Mother. She said, I don't feel like I can cook Christmas dinner tomorrow. And I said, well, Mother, why? Oh, I don't know. I'm getting old, and just why don't we just not have a Christmas dinner tomorrow? And suddenly it dawned on me. I went and opened her purse, and it was empty. And I stuck a big wad of money in her purse. She called the office in the church where I was pastoring in a few minutes. She says, son, on second thought, let's have a Christmas dinner tomorrow. And the next day, nice present she had bought for all of us with my money. Now, you think I mind supporting my mother? You think I begrudge that check I send her every month? I send her $7.50 a month. You think I begrudge that? Well, not all of it, some. No, I don't. You think when Dave comes to me and says, Dad, could I borrow a little money? Sure, of course. And the Heavenly Father up in heaven says, I wish my children would ask me for something. I've got some stuff up here I want them to have. But they don't ask for it. And I want them to come and ask me. And when finally we say, Lord, supply my needs. Lord, give me this. And the Lord says, oh, smell that perfume? Hey, Peter, smell that perfume? Hey, John, that aroma. Hey, got some perfume coming down on earth. Doesn't that smell good? And that's the way you pray for the king. There's a second way. That is not only our prayers, but our praise. Oh, how he hungers for our praise. You know, God wants us to say, you're a wonderful God. We used to, in the Bible, they prayed that way. David would say, thou the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Or David would say, thou the God that made the worlds. God wants us to brag on him. And when we do take time to say, I love that song. I was lost in sin, but Jesus rescued me. He's a wonderful Savior to me. And I love that song. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. I love that song. Praise him, praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. I love that song. All hail, I love the song we sing. Good things. I've forgotten the song now. But I love the praises. I love the songs of praise and the songs of joy. The songs of adoration. And you know, we fundamentalists don't do that much. We're so busy fighting. Brother, I don't believe in anything. I'm against everything. I'm against dancing. I'm against drinking. I'm against rock music. I'm against movie going. I'm against X-rated movies and A and B and C and D and E and all the other. I'm against all of them. I'm against smoking cigarettes. But I'm for something, too. I'm for lifting our hands to heaven with holy hosannas and say, Jesus, I love you. And you're a wonderful Savior. And hey, smell this. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Smell that. And the Lord says, smell that good aroma. My people are praising me. My folks are rejoicing in me. You know, I get notes under my door, and they say so often, you're the greatest preacher in the whole world. Now, I know that's not true. And I know I'm not the greatest preacher in the world, but I want you to think so. I tell my staff, everybody in the world can say I'm the second best preacher in the world, but I'm paying you to say I'm the best. No, I want all my own kids, best preacher in the world. I mean, I want you to think, compared to me, John Rice was an unsaved church member, and Bob Jones is a fair, and Lee Robertson's a heathen, and I don't care. If nobody in the world thinks I'm the greatest preacher in the world, I want you to think I am. I don't care what others think, but I want you children to think Brother Howes is the greatest preacher, and I want you young people, and I want the deacons to think it, and I want my people to think it. You say, well, you're vain. I know it. The Lord's that way, too. Don't blame me. I made in His likeness. He got this way first. That's why He made me. That's why He made us. Why? We made us. The Bible said we are chosen in Him before the foundation of the world for the praises of His name. He said, I'm just not the praising type. You're not the will of God type either. You're not the right with God type either. Well, I'm not emotional. Then get that way, backslider. Praise Him. Praise Him! Jesus, our blessed Redeemer! Sound His praises! Yesterday, I think if Mr. Staub said, you're the number one preacher in the whole world, I didn't mind that a bit. I think he's a mighty fine fellow, too. He's not the greatest preacher in the world. He's a fine man, one of the finest men I know. But he said, I think you're the number one preacher in the whole world. I didn't mind it a bit. I like that. And so does God like it, too. He needs it. And I like this. God needs my praises. What? The Creator needs something the creature. What? The benefactor needs something from the one who receives it. What? You mean the great omnipotent God needs something from weakness? What? You mean perfection needs something from imperfection? What? You mean that which is heavenly needs something from that which is earthy? What? That which is beyond sin needs something from Him who is sinful? What? You mean the great God of the universe needs something from me? Well, bless your heart, if He needs something from me, I want to give it to Him. He needs me. He needs my praise. And I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to pamper Him. And then He needs my love. Last Sunday morning, last time I had the Lord's Supper. Sitting right here, and the burdens were a little bit heavy that day. I don't mean I was sad. You would not believe the heartache that these shoulders have caught this week. Absolutely, honestly. It's awful hard to go to sleep at night. Sometimes I lay awake 30 seconds before I finally go to sleep. Like Dr. Rice, he'd look this way, and say, that's it. And off he went. You wouldn't believe it. I wish you could just sort of eavesdrop in some of the things that have been said to me this week. I wish you knew some of the tanglements of life. I wish you knew this week how I've been trying to take lives tangled by sin and figure out some way to get the tangles out. Or pleats and wrinkles in lives, some way to press the pleats out and salvage something out of the lives. I wish you knew how many tears have fallen on the carpet of the pastor's study this week. I came to the platform that way one Sunday morning. And I'm never unhappy. I really not. Honestly, I'm always happy. I think you noticed this morning, I'm happy. A lot of burdens, but I'm happy. A lot of folks have heavy loads to carry. I'm trying to help them carry, but I'm happy. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Yeah, sure I do. But one morning I was sitting here at the Lord's Supper time, and the good deacon who was passing the Lord's Supper to the choir, he walked by me and just reached down. Just nobody saw him. Squeezed my arm. He didn't say anything. He just squeezed my arm. Say, why'd he do it? Oh, I'd taken two of the cups, and he was wanting to get one back. He wanted to tell me he loved me. He wanted to tell me I was his preacher. You know, sometimes the Lord Jesus needs a squeeze of the arm. I'm made in his image. I like loving. How long has it been since you told him you loved him? Huh? How long has it been since you looked toward heaven and said, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the folly of sin I resign. If the Lord Jesus were here and I could see his teat glass were half empty, I'd sure get up and fill it. The Rye sisters didn't beat me to it. I'd get up and fill it. If I saw Jesus were here and I saw that he had a little ravel on the arm of his sleeve, I'd be so happy. One day, Mrs. Rice and Dr. Rice and I were driving down a street in Atlanta. And so she saw in a window one of these $350 exercise. You know, the kind that I got one at home. Goes up and down and forward and backwards and in and out and up and around like this. That's the way I learned how to disco. And Mrs. Rice just gently looked over Dr. Rice and she said, John R.? Every time she'd call him John R., I'd want to slap her. Don't call him that. It's Dr. Rice. But she'd say, John R., won't you buy me one of those for that extra cycle? That was on Tuesday. Thursday during the day, I had one delivered to her house. I tried to be careful, to watch for every need. And I wish I could do that with Jesus. And that's one reason why I think there's something in our hearts that wants to please Jesus. Wish I could pamper him. I go out to college sometimes, and all the students try to figure out ways to pamper me. I get 4,618 Reese's peanut butter cups and 6,422 beef sticks. And I mentioned one day, just the other day, in passing, that I ate a Mr. Goodbar. Good night. The stock in that company has gone up 50%. And the slightest thing I want, honestly. Honestly, if I just mention something I like, faintly, I get it. I like Rolls Royces. No, I like church mail cars, what I like. And I wouldn't have a Rolls Royce. But one day a man sitting in this room right now bought a $30,000 Mercedes-Benz. He said, preacher, I want to show you something. And I said, what is it? He said, $30,000 Mercedes-Benz. You like it? I said, it's very nice. He said, it's yours. It's all yours. Everything I want or need and things I can't use. The little girl the other day stuck a tube of lipstick under my door. Bowsy, wowsy. Yeah. I wish Jesus were here so I could do that. I wish I could find out if he'd like these peanut butter cups. I know he would. He's God. I'd like to say, Jesus, I got you a Reese's peanut butter cup. The day I was out in Seattle, Tacoma area, and one of our college graduates was out there, and he has a little girl about 2 years old, and he gave me a Reese's peanut butter cup. She came up and she gave it to me like that, and I took it, and she said, "Want back? Want back?" And the time we got through fighting for it, it was ruined. I couldn't eat it. I'd love to find out Jesus' favorite candy bar and see it. I kept him stocked. I'd like to find out his favorite juice, and I'd like to see that he had all he needed. I'd like to find out his favorite color suit and be sure he had it. I'd like to find out his favorite shoes and be sure he never had a hole in his soul. I'd like to sit beside him and say, Jesus, you want some more tea? I'll get it for you. I can't do that. I'd like to pamper him, and someday I think I will. But I can't pamper him now that way. But there's one way I can pamper him. I can pray and ask him to take care of me. He loves that. It's like sweet-smelling odor. And I can praise him, and I can say, you're wonderful, and I love you. And praise God, and hallelujah. And you're a great God, and you're a wonderful Savior to me. I can do that, and that sweet-smelling perfume, and that pampers him. And then I can love him. I can get alone and say, dear Jesus, I love you. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. And every time I say, Jesus, I love you, he says to the angels, smell that? Smell that? Some love coming up here. That's perfume. It pampered me. Howls is pampering me. Smell that? Howls is having a fit again in the hotel room, going having a spell. Sure smells good. Smell that? What's that? Howls is saying, dear God, we got some needs down here, and you got to supply them, please. And the Lord Jesus said, that sure smells good. May I tell you the sweetest perfume that he ever smells? May I tell you his favorite aroma? May I tell you the sweetest smell that our Lord enjoys? This is it. When somebody bows to his knees and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, woo, that smells good. Fills all of heaven, doesn't it? And the angels rejoice. And Jesus says, I sure love that aroma. And this morning, if you're here and you've never trusted him, if you don't know that he's your Savior, if you don't know your name is written in heaven, you can pamper him this morning by realizing that you're a sinner and that Christ died for you. You can come to him and say, Jesus, I take you as my Savior today. And the Lord Jesus says, that's the sweetest smell I've ever smelled. Sweetest aroma. The aroma that comes from that prayer. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God knows we need to be pampering him. And those of us who are his children, praise him and love him. Don't you think it'd be a wonderful thing today? I go to WMS. I always feel funny at WMS. I feel a whole lot of women scare me to death. And the most scared I am all year is the ladies spectacular. I mean, boy, you stand up here and nothing but ladies out here. And I don't know how to hold my arms. You know, I walk like that. Nothing fits. But I love to stand here when the ladies come in the choir sometimes, or the Foster Club had their part at the pastor school, and I was standing here as they all came in, and one by one they came by. Wow, there's some. What's that one? I got some for Cindy the other day. Nina, what? No, that Larity Temps. I don't know the Larity Temps or not. Nina something. Nina Ricci. Who said that? You did? Bowsy Wowsy. as it came by, there was Bob Keys. He's in heaven now. He and I grew up together. He bought his girl a bottle of perfume one day. He found a quart for a dollar. He was so proud of himself. And, boy, he thought he had really hung the moon. But I walked by, and oh, how sweet the smell. And this afternoon, get on your knees alone somewhere, you teenagers, and say, Jesus, I'm not very good at this, and I don't do it very much, but I sure love you. And then the deacons, Lord, we sure love you. And then the young couple that bows on the knees and says, thank you, Jesus, we love you, you're wonderful. Well, I supply our needs, and heaven is filled with the sweetest of fragrances. That's what. It's one funny thing to me. Think of all the fragrances he could have in heaven. The sweetest and choicest scents known in eternity are at the disposal of our Savior. I mean, every perfume known to mankind
The perfume and the extraction of every flower that God ever made is on the shelf of heaven's
perfume. Well, but none of that's as sweet as is the sweet aroma when a prayer from one of God's children rises heavenward and hands of praise are raised and holy hosannas ascend to the throne of the Father. And love comes from the hearts of His people. And a sinner says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I don't want the First Baptist Church to get so busy in soul winning and buses and schools and Sunday school contests and spring programs. I don't want us to get so busy. What we don't stop often and send some perfume toward heaven. I wish I could sing. As you noticed, I just want to sing. I just all the time find myself wanting to sing. I used to didn't sing any while I preached, but I heard Roloff, and if he can do it, I said, sure can do it. But I just want to sing. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the folly of sin I resign. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help us.